Hello and welcome to Woodman Corner, the West Bromwich and Cheltenham podcast that goes places others fear to tread. I am Graham Brown. I'm here with my co-host Joseph Chapman.
Hello, Graham. We had a nice Christmas holiday.
But for the Albion largely ruining it, yes, I have. Are you feel like going somewhere where others fear to tread today?
I hope so. I hope I'm ready for this venture.
So what we're going to do today, we are several days into the transfer window. There's probably been less activity than most of us would like. But we are going to look at the five changes that West Bromwich Albion must make. And it's fairly clear they need to make changes. We are essentially bottom of the league. We are essentially the worst team in the league at the moment. So some significant stuff needs to happen. Meanwhile, our captain and one genuine class player looks like he might be going elsewhere. So there's lots and lots to talk about. Joe, talk us through what we're going to talk about today.
Well, in terms of, you say changes, I suppose as much issues to address. There's potential players coming in. The likelihood is that the players will have to leave before that happens. You've got players that are in on loan. Do you keep them there? They've got players returning from loans, particularly younger players of the squad. Do they get a chance the second half of the season, or do they find another team for the remainder of the campaign? There's a hell of a lot Alan Pardew's got to do in the space of, say, well, now what it is, just over 3 weeks.
What do you think his biggest priority should be? What's the number one thing that Pardew must do?
It's just a striker. It is the bottom line. It's got to be. Albion aren't conceding a silly, silly amount of goals, really.
No.
You compare it to Stoke. Stoke have conceded over 40 goals this season, which is absolutely enormous amount. You know, just over half the season. Albion's isn't that bad. The problem's quite clearly at the other end of the pitch, where they're playing well, actually, for large periods of matches, particularly under Pardew, and then just not provided enough at the top end of the pitch. And it's a serious worry.
I think that's right. I think it's a wider issue than that. That I think we'll probably come back to, in that, you know, we need goals from all sorts of places, like set pieces, which is sort of significantly fallen off. But you just can't get away from the fact that, I mean, I've spoken on this podcast before about how little time I have for Hal Robson-Kahn as a Premier League footballer. Salomon Rondon has confirmed himself not to be a goal scorer, and Jay Rodriguez, he isn't really exceptional at anything, really. You know, of those three, he's the one that's most likely to put it in the back of the net, but not with anywhere near enough regularity, really. But we should probably start with Evans, shouldn't we? So, what's the latest with Evans?
Evans is the kind of the key, I suppose, to all this.
He's got to happen first.
He's the catalyst, really, in terms of any significant transfer business Albion can do. They'll have to box clever, particularly if Evans wasn't to go anywhere anytime soon. And so if they're trying to get a player in, much will depend on the fees and the freeing up of wages that Evans currently occupies.
Yeah.
So while there haven't been any concrete bids, and Arsene Wenger was quizzed about it after the FA Cup game, Arsenal's defeat to Nottingham Forest, and he confirmed that nothing was close, there wasn't anything agreed or anything, and that remains the case now. But understand that Man City and Arsenal still have very strong interest in him, and would expect them to be kind of getting in touch with Albion as regards to the availability of Evans. And it's something that really, I suppose, for City and Arsenal, it's probably not something that they have to rush.
No, for us, we'll
have to do all the running.
I think that's the thing. You've got two issues. You've got the value and the time, and you know, really, you can't really realistically push both. But you know, personally, I just think it needs to be 25 million plus, and it needs to happen sooner rather than later. I think the first thing will happen, and I think the second thing won't. I think it's going to come late in the window, and I think that's concerning when you think, quite how quickly we need to turn things around. It's getting ridiculous, really. You know, what we'd have to do to get to 40 points now is near implausible. What we need to get to get to 17th is getting difficult. So go on then. What happened to Johnny Evans?
So Evans, yeah, okay. Say Evans goes with maybe a week of the transfer window remaining. The one thing Albion just can't do is sell Evans and not make use of that money or replace him. So, you know, very much like Berahino a couple of years ago, the offer comes in with next to no time to replace him. It's a straight no, and that's fine. As you've already said, the one thing you worry about is that to say a period of time where Albion hope to do business and don't do that business with Evans gone, all of a sudden you've lost your captain. Obviously he's had a horrible run of results. It's well documented, isn't it, that he hasn't been on the winning side since Albion beat Arsenal in March.
Yeah,
we're now in January. I think that's 10 months on.
That's probably a positive, isn't it? And that's why in terms of item number one, I would sell Johnny Evans, is that he's not playing as well as he was. He probably isn't motivated enough for Albion. And the truth is, we, as compared to some of our other more high-profile issues, we could comparatively get by without him. You know, I would personally like to see him replaced, but if he wasn't replaced...
That's the big question, isn't it? Do you think, with three positions across the back four, with Kieran Gibbs occupying the other one pretty comfortably, do Albion have enough going forward in this relegation battle with McCauley, Higazi, Dawson and Nyon to fill three of those places?
It's a big gamble, and it's one that that I think I'd sooner see than bring someone in. But I mean, I think when you think at the other end, you're talking about those three strikers that I've talked about, you know, having two positions to be taken up by McCauley, Higazi and Dawson isn't necessarily the biggest concern. What I would say, and this probably comes... So I think we both said we'd sell Evans for the right amount. My concern is, I'm just looking through this document of everyone that Albion's been linked with. Glenn Johnson, we've been linked with one centre-half in Ben Mee, who I don't think is plausible. I don't think he's going anywhere from Burnley. The Andy...
Yayadon
from Barnsley. He's another right back. We've been linked with Bakari Sagna, and we have been linked with
Connor Cody's a sweeper, isn't he? That was a very tentative link.
And we've been linked, of course, with Debussy. So that's four. Yeah. So I'm going to throw out my concern about this. Last year, Albion scored 41 goals. 15 of them came from corners. That's... We talked before about the fact that we aren't scoring at the other end. That's principally where the drains come from. Because, I mean, Rondon didn't really score last year. And my concern is, you get rid of Evans, you move Dawson across to centre-half, and you bring in a right-back like Debussy. All of a sudden, we've got no more attacking threat off corners than anyone else has. You know, it used to be that we had three, possibly four centre-halves, then big bustling strikers and some sizeable midfielders and so on. We've already stepped back from that. Which I can understand, you know, fans... advocated when Pulis left, fans advocated a better form of football, and that's what this would be. A Debussy or something like that. He's not going to play like Dawson, who essentially operates as another centre half but goes forward with corners. He's going to get more involved with play and that sort of thing, but he's not going to score five goals like Dawson and McCauley averaged between them last year. And I don't think Albion have progressed enough to change that. I think this season they should continue to a certain extent in that Pulis vein of trying to get goals off set pieces. Mm. If they want to address a fundamental thing like getting fullbacks to operate like fullbacks, do that in the summer. So my what I would say is, I don't want to see Evans replaced by Glenn Johnson or Debussy. I would sooner see him replaced by centre half. Who that centre half would be?
You've been Pulis, Graham.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, and I'll throw out a couple of names. I don't even really believe this. I really like Stephen Caulker as a footballer. I don't think Stephen Caulker is in any shape to go straight to a Premier League team, but it'd be someone it'd be interesting to see Albion.
As cover, you think to yourself, Stephen Caulker's 26 years old. He's not even in his prime yet. Well, he shouldn't be in his prime yet, arguably.
Yep.
He knows Craig Dawson well. They came through the ranks in under 21s together and played for a period of time.
I definitely agree, but I think McCauley could play more. So I think,
and we could finally have Macaulay Culker as our centre half pairing,
which is all I've ever wanted.
Just Hollywood acting.
The other names we could think of, I sort of thought if he goes to Arsenal, maybe someone like Holden or Chambers could come over on a short term basis. Aidan Flint is someone from Bristol City I've always thought looks a good player. I can't imagine, it's not a great time to be trying to get someone out of Bristol City.
No, they're a well oiled machine, aren't they, Bristol, and everyone seems to enjoy playing there. And it's one of those. It's very much like Gary Rowett and Stoke. Would you want to leave to join a struggling Premier League team when you're in a very, very good position in the Championship and, you know, potentially a Premier League team yourself next year?
So that's what I'd do. I'd replace him with the centre half. What would you do?
I also like Caulker. I also think you're absolutely right when you say that Cole Crew, who hasn't had a run in any team for more than a year.
Yeah.
He was a bit of a... He was, by the end, he was considered a bit of just a drain on wages, really, at QPR. And he's obviously had his problems off the field, and he's... There's a very good player there, I think. I do like Cole Crew.
Whether he'll ever be realised, a la Berahino, I don't know, but yeah.
No.
So I guess moving to the next one then, striker. So we've both established that striker would be... Would be the most important thing. Go on then, who...
Well, there's three names. These stand out in as far as... okay, they might not be the best options, but they've all made it very clear they want to leave their respective clubs in the January window, if possible. So, you've got Stefano Akaka at Watford.
Yep.
You've got Alexander Mitrovic at Newcastle. And you've got Diafra Sakho at West Ham. Now, Sacco's someone that Albion were very interested in signing 18 months ago. Mm-hmm. That didn't come off because of a medical, which was infuriating at the time, because you actually thought to yourself, if you could kind of get Diafra Sakho playing with the right attitude, and if he could stay fit, he'd be a very, very decent signing for Albion.
Yeah.
And it didn't come to fruition. That was a real shame. Akaka's, he's only been in English football really for, you know, is it 12 months now, I think? And he's, you know, he's been in and out of the side, and he's down the pecking order at Watford. You've got this argument now as well, whether a team like Albion should be looking at second, third choice strikers at teams like West Ham, Newcastle and Watford. But also, you've just got to be realistic.
Yeah, you must.
You're not going to go and spend 20 million on
Robson Kanu plays for Albion, and he wouldn't get in Watford's reserves.
So there's three names.
Do you have a favourite?
I like Mitrovic a lot. I think Mitrovic is still only about 22 or so. He's very, very young. He's not got an astonishing goal record, but I think he would fit the mould of a number nine better than Rondon. I actually think he's a slightly better finisher than Rondon, and I think that he would be a good fit.
We're in danger of agreeing with each other too much, but okay. So of those three that you've said, so Kaká, for some reason, has played for Italy, but I had a little look into his past. He's never really scored goals. If you look in recent seasons, last season he scored. He did 1-4 for Watford in a new shirt. It was at Anderlecht before then. He averaged less than a goal every other game there. Sampdoria for a season, he scored 8 goals in 36 games. Mm. Parma, he never really got in their team. I'm struggling how this guy's ever played 4 times for Italy, because he's never really made a success of anything. Mm. Diafra Sakho is probably the thing with Sakho is I was glad we didn't sign him last time, even though I think he's not a bad footballer. You know, he scored well over 1-3 at Metz across his career. He's a good age at 28. I think he's a personality issue, and this is something I want to talk about, actually. I think if you look at what Albion did last year and what Burnley are doing this year, it's a real advert for signing personalities rather than talent.
Of course.
And I think, you know, that Burnley team doesn't have an awful lot more talent than ours.
It was something Tony Pulis was big on, wasn't it? He, you know, he did a huge background checks on the personalities of every player he was looking into signing, and he would always get the opinions of those who knew those players well, those targets. So Jake Livermore being a perfect example, you know, he would speak to people that had worked with Livermore before, kind of, you know, moving that deal on. So it's
on that basis I'd rule Sakho. He's had his personal problems. He's said and done some of the wrong things. I wouldn't want Sakho, so I'd agree Mitrovic. And I think you're right. It's interesting to raise it. So he's 23, like you say. He scored more than a goal every other game at Anderlecht before coming to Newcastle. His goal scoring record for Newcastle is not very good. 14 goals in 65 games.
But he doesn't start. He doesn't. You know.
He's and he's 23. Young. You know. You're looking at a player who's had a 6-year career. Seven-year career. He's only 23. I think he's someone that's got. He's got more to give. A lot of the time when you look at kind of...
He's got an edge to him, hasn't he? You know,
But you'd like to think that he's found a way to channel that. You know, there was that period where he seemed to get sent off all the time.
Yeah.
You didn't mention Ings. Why didn't you mention
Ings? I just think... I'm really not sure about Danny Ings. If we missed out on Danny Ings, I'm not sure I would be too disappointed. I think to myself that he's a player that's had a very, very long time out with the injury. And could you afford to have him and, say, Rodriguez, for example, kind of having to balance them both and making sure that they both remain fit, Rodriguez, to be fair, you know, touch wood, has been a success on that front.
Yeah.
Since he joined, he hasn't had any problems at all. He's been able to play regularly. He's fitted in all the matches over the Christmas period, and he seemed, it was just a fatigue thing by the end rather than an injury. So
I think I think you're absolutely right. I think it's the same thing as Kulka, really. Is do you want to be signing players in January that you can't rely on playing each week? Yeah. And I don't even actually only mean from a fitness perspective. He's been not playing for that long that you couldn't be a certain. There's no certainty that he's a Premier League player anymore. So no, I'd agree. So striker. We've both gone for Mitrovic. That's interesting.
Okay, so now the next big thing is the decisions you got. I think they've got to make on two players that are massively at the different ends of the kind of spectrum, mm-hmm, in terms of experience, in terms of, you know, background. You've got Gregor Krikoviak.
Yeah.
And you've got Tyler Roberts. And both of their futures, their Albion futures, need to be kind of resolved, I think, in the next few weeks. So Tyler Roberts will be back at Albion. Krikoviak, meanwhile, is... he's been in and out of the side under Pardew, and Pardew has come out and said, you know, he was still very much a player that he would turn to a few weeks ago when he was left out of the squad to go to Stoke.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, he was in. You know, he was back in the reckoning against Everton and Arsenal, and started against West Ham and started against Exeter. So,
you've seen a lot of Krikoviak. What do you think?
I was impressed by him at West Ham. Actually, I thought he distributed the ball well, and he did the simple things well.
Yeah.
He ticked the play over midfield, and in the first half Albion went in ahead, and they were good value for it. They played really, really well collectively, but Krikoviak I was impressed by, and it was a real shame that like Kieran Gibbs, up until the Exeter game, he was without a win, you know, in Albion colours, which is astonishing. But
I'd agree because I think Krikoviak has had some good games with him. I mean, he looks slow, which is concerning, but I mean it's perhaps less so than if he's playing out wide or something. But, yeah, but I've seen two games, West Ham being the second one, where I thought him and Jakob look like they should play next to each other.
Yeah,
they look right. It looks like one's occupying a space that's complementary, but different to the other. Mm. They look right together for me. Albion down on a side that need to create new problems for themselves. I don't think I'd be getting rid of Krikoviak this January.
No, it's just the midfield thing. Generally, the competition is through the roof. You know, you've got Gareth Barry, you've got Jake Livermore's, who's a regular. You've got Chris Brunt, who's now come back into the reckoning, and you've got Sam Field, who's champion at the bit as well. So all these players, it's there's a lot of decisions to be made week in, week out. Kind of, you know, as to who plays for Park.
And they're a bit too. I mean, they're not similar in that they none of them are a, you know, James Morrison or Nasser Chadli position, are they? So I mean, in the West Ham game, he played Livermore as the most. Well, I mean, a team isn't functioning if Livermore is your most attacking midfielder, because for the things he can do, passing isn't really among them.
No.
So I think there's an issue there. I mean, would you bring in another midfielder?
Well, depends on that kind of who that player is, really. You know, you look historically at Pardew's teams, and the perfect example I can give you in terms of a creative midfielder that has almost followed Pardew to an extent in his career is Yohan Kabay. Now, I'm not suggesting that Crystal Palace would part with Yohan Kabay, but that kind of player with a little bit of, you know, just offers a bit of finesse, I think. You know, that final pass that can be... the difference between a sideways pass and a killer ball going forward.
Yeah,
I don't think we've got too many players in the Albion team that can pull that ball off.
And do you think there's any hope? What hope is there of Morrison playing any football anytime soon?
There was a setback, wasn't there, with his Achilles? So he's been recovering from this Achilles injury. He hasn't played since. Well, I mean, how long has it been now? It's been September. Was it September? Yeah. I think. Oh, he obviously scored against Brighton, but I can't remember too many games since then that he played. I can't remember exactly.
I'm hugely concerned about Morrison.
Well,
he's got some history along these lines before.
And Pardew was obviously hoping to have him fit for the Brighton game at the Hawthorns, which is looking very, 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 very unlikely now. And then, of course, Chadli having that setback is just compounded it, really, because they are two players that you think to yourself, if they'd have been available to Pulis and to Pardew over the last couple of months, week in, week out, Albion's fortunes might be a little bit improved.
Well, Albion have been linked with a couple of attacking midfielders, Batiglia in Portugal being one of them. It would appear that that Pardew has sort of intimated that he'd be interested in a player on that end. I think probably I can understand why. I mean, I think that there are a lot of games where we're playing, again, Darren mentioned him again, Robson Kanu and Rodriguez in midfield, and that we're not really kind of breaking through. I think it's concerning that we have to make such fundamental changes to our team like this. But I'd like to see something done there where they are linking midfield and attack a bit better. You'd like to think Chadley might be the answer in time, but they probably need to deal with it head on.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's something that is a necessity. And Pardew's already stated that. He said that an attacking midfielder is something that he'll be looking into, certainly, as regards to recruitment in January. But he will. I'd be considering, you know, with Tyler Roberts coming into the last few months of his contract now, he's getting a lot of praise from, you know, the lower reaches of English football. And you just wonder now whether, a bit like Field and Lico, do you give him a go?
So you're close to Albion, right? What's the state of play with Roberts? I mean, his contract's up in not a long time at all. I mean, is Tyler Roberts an Albion player of the future?
Well, what is he now? 18, 19? He's, you know, not like Field. There's a hell of a long way to go in his development.
Yeah.
So a decision's got to be made, obviously. Speak to Alex, who's on our sports desk, and he's a Walsall fan, and he thinks Roberts is fantastic. He thinks he's far too good for League One, and he half expected him to be in the Championship in the second half of this season.
Yeah,
I don't know now whether, you know, you kind of think to yourself, well, actually, it's worth holding on to him and just giving him a run. And you know, he's got pace, which is something Albion don't have going forward.
He's a big lad as well.
He's got an eye for goal. Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, if it works, then.
No, I'd agree. I don't know if it's helpful for the future of Tyler Roberts, but I'd have him in and around the team. I think I think it gives an opportunity for him to for us to sell ourselves to him almost as a viable option. But also, we just don't really have the options. We've talked again and again and again about how poor our strikers are. So, I mean, we tend to do this in these podcasts, but it seems like we've sort of broken out in complete unison. So we started off this podcast by saying the five changes West Brom must make. Number one, Evans. I think I'm right in saying we both agreed he should be sold. We both agreed he should be replaced by centre-half.
With certain criteria, yes. I.e. fee, the date. If they can be boxes that can be ticked, then I think so.
Number two, striker. We both agreed Mitrovic.
Well, yeah, of course. Of those players, of those names that we threw up between us, you know, with kind of just based on Albion, based on players that could be available in the January window.
We both agreed an attacking midfielder?
Yeah, I think that's going to be necessary. I don't think you can wait for Nasser Chadli to get himself fit in March. And as we've already said, Morrison, you just don't know. There's no specific time frame for a return just yet. So, yeah, I think knitting the midfield and the attack together is going to be vital to play under Pardew's way.
I made the case we shouldn't have a right back. I also didn't mention the fact that that Kane Wilson is a right back and probably overdue an opportunity at the Albion. What do you reckon? Right back?
I like Kane Wilson a lot. I'm not sure to a point where you kind of have the same reasoning around Roberts. You know, is utilising a 17-year-old in a Premier League relegation battle wise, or is it necessary?
I mean is that you've got Niamh as a fullback. You've got Dawson as a starter. I understand Niamh's not very good and Dawson can play centre half, but I would make the case buy a centre half, and if you need,
yeah, I would go with that. Yeah. I would go with that for the remainder of the season. I think Dawson at right back, another centre back, will be easier to get hold of than another right back.
And number five, we would both bring back Tyler Roberts.
Yeah, I think I'd give Tyler Roberts a go. I'd certainly have him in and around the squad. Maybe give him a run of three or four games, just see what he's about, just see what he can do at this level. And of course you've got Krakowiak as well, which is another big thing.
Yeah, so
Albion need to find a suitor. PSG aren't going to take him back. They're not going to want to pay 110 grand a week for a player that's not going to figure at all. So they're very happy to let him see his contract his loan deal run down to the end of the season. The big thing now is whether another team on the continent, a Fenerbahce or a Roma or another team that have been linked with him, comes into the point where they're actually serious about it and makes an offer.
So the upshot of that is, we lose Evans, we bring in the centre-half, we bring Mitrovic up front, an attacking midfielder, we get Tyler Roberts back, Krakowiak stays. Does that team stay in the Premier League, Joe Chapman?
We've got 7 home games now in a row over the course of the next 3 months where we play none of the top six.
Yep.
And we need to probably go and win 5 of them. Now, for a team that hasn't done that in 20 league games, that might seem like a big ask.
And doesn't score goals.
Yeah, but we just don't have a choice. We've got to go and win those games. We've got to go and beat teams like Watford and Southampton, Burnley and Leicester. All these teams are coming to the Hawthorns. And we've got to get the results.
So it's going to be a massive feat and one that I think we would rank next to the Great Escape where we managed to pull it off at this point. Thank you for joining us in this podcast this week. As I always say, this is a fans podcast, so if you want to get involved, do get in touch. And we will be coming back to you with transfer-related news throughout January. If big news happens, Wood McCorn will be doing breakout podcasts. But in the meantime, thank you for joining us this week. Onwards and upwards.
Cheerio.